And God knows our hearts, and He knows how we are, everyone are tonight, and He knows what our needs are. And I might know a little bit of what you need, but God knows everything you need. And He knows everything I need. And He's able to speak through His man to give me what He needs. And He's able to speak through His people to give me what He needs. And that's even a little bit what we're going to talk about tonight. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we're going to talk about the gifts tonight. not get specifically on each gift that much, but we're going to talk about spiritual gifts. And every one of us has a gift. Everybody. Everybody's got a gift. No matter how long you've been saved, how long you've not been saved, you've got a gift. Need to find out what it is. Now, verse 1, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away into these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of ministrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it's the same God which worketh in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, binding to every man severally as he will. For as the body is one, and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. And if the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased Him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, but yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary, and those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacketh, that there shall be no schisms in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all members suffer with it, or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. And God hath set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly, teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way." I'm going to quit reading right there. But I want us to think about this, look at this for just a few minutes tonight, and I'm going to try to hurry. I really am. But I want us to look at this together, and I think this is needed today. Now this First Corinthian church, it was a carnal church. Well, if you read all about everything that could be going on, was going on in the Corinthian church, and it was primarily a lot carnal. I mean, there all kinds of things going on. And so they did have gifts, and they did exercise gifts, and they exercised some of them in wrong ways. And Specifically in this portion right here, they were exercising the gift of tongues in the wrong way. And it's amazing to me that the things he says, I don't know why some people can't see them today that really put these things out in the forefront, and those things are predominant in the church. I don't know why they can't read what the Apostle Paul was saying. And it would help them a whole lot. Even if, of course, I don't even believe some of these gifts, some of these spectacular gifts, I don't think they're needed anymore. I really don't. I think that was for an infant church. And since they have the whole canon of God's Word, and we have all of God's Word, I don't think the church needs those as much. But it's a sign of a carnal church when they major on the minors. They major on the least important things. They major on spectacular things. You know, when you're a young Christian, you like the great things, you know. And when you're a young Christian, you notice, when you're a young Christian, you can rejoice more about singing than you can preaching a whole lot. And you can rejoice more about, I mean, you like, lots of times you like rejoicing. You like shouting and rejoicing. And that's wonderful. But when sometimes we're young, we like the amazing things. I'm glad young Christians have some good people to look up to hit them in the right direction. And the young people can see that it's not all shouting, and it's not all running, and it's not all spectacular things. But I'm glad there's some people, like our pastor and leaders, that are able to show young people the right way to go. Show the right way to go and what the important things are. But this church, this Corinthian church, he talks to them right here, and he talks about in verse 4, now there are diversities of the gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. He said there are different diversities of gifts. Diversities, that means various kinds. There are various kinds of gifts. And then he says, but the same Spirit. There are differences of administrations. There are differences of ministries. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. It's the same Spirit, and it's the same Lord. And God gives gifts to His people. Everybody has a gift. Every one of you have a gift. If you're saved. If you're saved, you have a gift. Now we think about preachers being called to preach. You know, we think about that. And we think about teachers having a gift. We think about deacons being one of the leaders in the church. We think about the deacons. God's given them an office there and a job to perform in the church. But sometimes that's all we think about that's really the major offices in the church. We think about the deacons and the pastor and the teachers. And we think, well, those are the people that God's given something to do. But you see, God's given us all something to do. God's given us everyone a gift. Everyone a gift. That's what he says right here. And he said there are diverse of operations, but it's the same God which worketh in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. Given to every man to profit withal. Everybody has a gift from God. Everybody, God the Holy Ghost, has something for you to do. He has something to perform in your life. I remember when the Lord called me to preach, and a long time before that, not in a long time, just over a period of a year or two, maybe, my memory's working as I'm trying to preach, but I would be in church and the preacher would preach, and I believe some of you have heard me say before, I would sit back there and the preacher would preach, and I remember this one preacher specifically during that time when God was working on me, and the preacher would be preaching, I'd sit back there, and man, I'd just loving it, I'd just loving the pride, love the preaching, I love it, and it would seem like the Spirit would speak to my heart. And he would say, someday you'll be there. And I didn't understand that. I did not understand what that meant. You know, you say, well, maybe you're sort of dumb or something, but maybe I was. But I did not understand what that feeling meant. I did not understand what it meant. And then there would be times when we'd have a good service and people would get testifying. And there were times when I'd testify. And the Lord would just take over. The Lord would just take over my talking. I'm not lying. I'm telling you the truth. The Lord, it seemed like the Lord would just take over my talking, and I would say things I didn't know I was going to say, and I would get so high. I mean, it was just unbelievable to me. After it was over, I couldn't believe I said all the things I said. I couldn't say the things I said. And then after the Lord called me to preach, and I announced my calling to preach, and some of the people came to me, and they said, Michael, we've known for a long time the Lord's going to tell you to preach. And I said, well, how did you know the Lord's going to tell me to preach? And they said, well, you preached a lot sometimes. I mean, he said, you got up and preached. And said, we could tell that the Lord was on you and doing that. And said, we just knew the Lord was going to call you to preach. But see, that was what the Lord called me to do. What the Lord called me to do. And over a period of time, He was getting me ready. I went to the youth meeting there at Pine Grove. First night I went. First night, never went before. Hadn't been involved in it. Didn't know nothing about it. They elected me their youth leader. The first night I went. And I was a shy young boy. It scared me to death to get up and talk in front of people. Never had no, I couldn't believe, I mean, there was no way I could have been at the head of any kind of organization or planning anything or telling other people what to do. Because that just wasn't me. But see, God wanted it to be me. God had plans for it to be me. And there was a gift in there, even though I didn't know it, but God the Holy Spirit worked. He superintended and He worked in my life. And He put me there in that youth group to where I would have to lead it, and where I would have to sort of direct and plan and be a leader and try to give them God's word and try to lead the youth group in the right way. And he put that gift in me, and I didn't know it was there. I didn't even know to ask for it yet. I didn't know. That was before I was even called to preach when they elected me youth leader. And I didn't even know to ask for it yet. But God was doing it. God was doing it. If you're His child, He's doing something. He's doing something. He's getting you ready. He's getting you ready. There's a gift there. There's a gift there. And He wants you to find out what it is. He wants you to find out what that gift is. It said right there, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. That means the manifestation of the Spirit is given to you to profit withal. Given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given the Spirit. And then it starts talking about the gift to every man. That means to every man, that's generic. Every man and every woman, every child of God, that's talking about. To every one of you, you've got a gift. You need to find out what it is. As I said, it amazed me that Brother Craig said that. He was talking about that before I started. We all need each other. God's made us that way. God's gifted us that way. I've got something you need. I need to hear you exhorters out there that God's given you the gift of exhortation. I need that. I need your exhortation. God made me up that I need you. I need to hear your exhortations. I need to hear you get up and say by the Spirit of God how good the Lord is. And when you get up and say through the Spirit how good God is, God puts in my soul. He speaks it to my soul. And the Holy Spirit in me says, amen, God is good. And before long, I might be feeling a little bit bad. And God the Holy Ghost is speaking through you, saying God is good. And God the Holy Spirit speaking in me, saying, you know what He's saying is right. And I said, yeah, Lord, I know what He's saying is right. You're right. And before I know it, He's used your gift of exhortation to lift my soul and my heart. And I feel like singing again. Where I did feel like crying, now I feel like singing. Why do I feel like that? Because you did what you were supposed to do. You used the gift that God gave you to use. And that's why it just way all of us need each other. I need you, and you need me. I don't know why you need me very much, but you need me too. And we all need each other. And that's why we need to find out what we're supposed to be doing. So you can do what you're supposed to be doing. So you can help. So you can help me.
I need you to help me. I really do. You're a blessing to me. I thank the Lord for you. You're a blessing to me. Lots of times you're a blessing. You don't even know you're a blessing. You know that? If you're walking close to the Lord and you're doing what He called you to do, using your gift, you'll be a blessing. You don't even know it. You don't even know it. You just walk with Him. I mean, you rub off on everybody you're around. If you just walk with Him. You rub off on everybody. You smile at people and you rub off on them. You shake their hand and you rub off on them. You say a good word to them and you rub off on them. I've had people tell me in the past, well, I've heard people I haven't worked with in the past, and I ain't always been what I should have been, but I've had people work with me in the past and say, boy, I wish I was more like you, Michael. And when I hear that, I think, well, Lord's doing something through me. If they want to be like me, they're not just wanting to be like me. They're wanting to be like Him that's in me, that's working through me and using me to exalt Himself through me. They're wanting to be like Him is what they're really wanting to do, even though they may not understand that yet. That good they see in me, that's Him. I wouldn't be like I am if I wasn't saved. I wouldn't. You may think, well, Michael, he'd be a fine fella. He'd be a good, nice fella anyway. No, I'd be a lot different if I wasn't saved. Every one of us would. Every one of us. We'd be selfish people if we wasn't saved. We'd be doing our own thing. We'd be going down to destruction one way or another. A lot of us in a lot of different ways, but we'd all be headed down if we wasn't saved. We'd be leading other people down too. But instead, I'm up and I can help other people. I can lead other people up also because the Lord's in me and He's working in me and He wants to work that gift in me that He's given me. And He's got a gift for you too. Young people, He's got a gift for you. Amen. He's got something for you to do, young people, every one of you. He's got something for you to do. You say, well, I just don't see what it is right now. Be faithful. Be faithful. Stay in the house of God. Stay in the house of God getting God's Word. As you stay where you're supposed to be and do the things you're supposed to do, that's when God, the Holy Spirit, will be able to talk to you. He'll lead you along. You say, well, I'm young and I don't believe I'm ever going to do very much. You'll be shocked and surprised 10 years from now what God has done in your life. If you'll stay where you're supposed to be, if you'll stay in church, stay in the Word of God, pray, seek the Lord, He will be working in your life. I remember a 15-year-old young boy that was insecure and shy and didn't think he could ever do anything. And I still don't think I can do anything sometimes. But it amazes me what God can do. It don't take God very much. I mean, He can speak a word and create a world. I mean, He don't have to have very much. All you have to do is say, here I am, and I guarantee He'll do something. He'll do something. He'll use you. He'll work in your life some way for His glory and His honor. And it'll be real good for you along the way too. Because He's a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. You'll enjoy the trip. You will. You'll enjoy the trip. You'll have to go through a whole lot of hard things. You'll be persecuted. You'll be hated. You'll be despised. You'll be despised. But you'll have the privilege of knowing the greatest person that has ever been or ever will be. And He'll always be with you too. It's a privilege. It's a real privilege to be around a great person. You know that? Some people, it's a privilege to be around them. It really is. It really is. And I have the privilege to be around the greatest person that's ever been. And it's a real privilege. And Paul said, I've suffered the loss of all things and to count them but dung that I may win Christ.
Amen.
And he said, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ. The knowledge of Jesus Christ. I know Him. He said, there's nothing greater in this, in anywhere, anytime, there's nothing greater than knowing Him. Nothing greater than that. Everything else is done compared to knowing Him.
Right.
The knowledge of Christ. There's nothing greater than knowing Him. Than to know Him is to love Him, and to love Him is to obey Him.
Right.
And we can know Him, we all know Him, and He's got something for me to do. He's got something for me to do. I'm going to read another portion of Scripture that says a little bit of the same things. In Romans chapter 12, he said, in verse 3, for I say through the grace given to me to every man is among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith.
For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one member one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the propitiation of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness, let love be without dissimulation, abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. He talks about the gifts there, and he said we have many members. And he's talking about the universal by all of them now. He's talking about all of them. We have many members in one body. There's one body. Body of Christ. And all members have not the same office. So we being many are one body of Christ, and everyone members one of another. We're members of each other. We're members of each other. See, you're a member and I'm a member. I'll turn over here to the last one. Let me just say this. As it said over in 1 Corinthians there, it talked about the members of the body, and it talked about the members in particular. He said, for the body is not one member but many. And if a foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not of the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And at verse 18, but now God has set the members, every one of them, in the body as it had pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are there many members, yet one body. And listen to this now, verse 21, the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more, those members in one body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. So we all, every one of us are needed. See, he compared it. He got down real simple, you know, to where a dumb hillbilly like me can understand it. You see, he said the one part of the body can't say, I don't need this part. See, I can't say to my mouth can't say to my hand, I don't need you. I don't need you hands. I mean, what am I going to do when my mouth itches? And that's real simple, isn't it? See, I can't say I don't need you because you're part of the body. And God knew what he was doing. And so that means I need you. I need you. People say, well, I don't, ain't no need for me going to church. I can do just as good at home. That ain't what God said right here. You're in the body. You're a part of the body. That's like my hand saying, I don't need you feet. And the feet say, okay, you walk to the car by yourself then. I mean, that's like one hand saying the other hand, well, I don't need you. Okay, let me see you scratch without me. Let me see you scratch the top of your hand without me. You know, we all need each other. God has made us that way. We're members. And see, you have a gift and you're a member of the body. We're all members of the body. And I need you as in part in the body of Christ just as much as I need my members. And that's the reason he put it that simple, so we can understand that. I can't say I would just do just as good at home. Something ain't going to get done if I stay home. I'm not going to get scratched when I need scratched, and I'm not going to be able to go where I need to go, and I'm not going to be able to hear what I need to hear, and I'm not even be able to say what I need to say to anybody because I'm all by myself. And I need it. I need you, and you need me. And we're members in particular. God has put us all in the body for a reason. We have a very smart God, and He knows what me and my personality and my weaknesses need. He knows what I need. And you, and so many of you have been such a blessing to me. So many a blessing to me. And we need each other. I need you and you need me. I really do. I need you. I appreciate you.
I appreciate a lot of you. Even though I'm really a shy individual, I still am. I still am a shy individual. Sometimes I'll not tell you that I appreciate you like I do. I appreciate every one of you. Sometimes I'm quiet and I won't say very much. And it's still a miracle that I'm up here talking in front of you. It really is. It's a miracle for me to do this. Because I wasn't made up this way. I wasn't made up this way. You say, well, I can't do anything for the Lord. Yes, you can. Look at me. I'm up here. I'm like the one said, if he can do it for me, he can do it for you. Believe me. If he can do it for me, he can do it for anybody. I wouldn't have ever dreamed that I'd be up here tonight 40 years ago. I wouldn't have dreamed it. I was a 13-year-old shy boy. I loved to play ball and have fun playing ball and stuff like that. I was athletic. But I sure wouldn't open my mouth in front of a bunch of people. I wouldn't have. But God's put me here. God's put me here. You say, well, I don't know how the Lord can use me. I don't know. Just hang on. You'll find out. You'll find out how He's going to use you. But He will. But He will. And you need to be here. Every one of us need to be here. I mean, a lot of you know. A lot of you know more maybe than others. Maybe all of you know. I don't know, but you're not here by accident. You're not here by accident. I thank the Lord for you. I thank the Lord for you. Lord put you here, and He's used you to help me and be a blessing to me. A lot of you. I love you. I really do. I love to hear you talk about how good the Lord is and what the Lord has done for you. It's an encouragement to me. I mean, we've got a good thing here. We just need to make sure that we do what the Lord wants us to do and we're where He wants us to be. Find out what God got for you to do and do it with all your might. And do it with all your might. Hey, listen, I don't know what I am in the body. I don't know, I may be a toenail or something. I don't know what. but I sure do need you. I sure do. I sure do need you. And I appreciate you. Please stay with the Lord. Stay close to Him. Pray. Seek Him. Find out what He wants you to do. Do that daily and let Him do what He wants to do. It's hard telling what He'll do. He can use you to make a difference in somebody's life. You'll make a difference in a lot of people's life. You'll affect those around you. I'm going to read one more portion of Scripture over here. It's over here in Corinthians and Romans, it talks about the gifts that God gave to the church. God gave to the church, the gifts that He gave. Over in Ephesians chapter 4, He talks about the gifted men that have these gifts that He's given to the church. And Ephesians chapter 4, I'll start reading in verse, let me see, well, in verse 4, there is one body and one spirit, even as we are called in one hope of your calling. I'm going to skip down just a little bit now, in verse 11, and He gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. He said He gave this. Oh, there He's talking about the gifts that He gave to the church. Here He talks about, in a little different aspect, He talks about the gifted men that He gave to the church. But He says, for the perfecting of the saints. That word perfecting there, that means equipping and maturing. For the equipping of the saints. For the work of the ministry. See, He didn't say for the perfecting of the preachers for the work of the ministry. He said for the perfecting of the saints for the work of the ministry. If you're saved, you're a saint. You call me Saint Michael. That's who I am. I'm Saint Michael. When we went through up there in Louisville when we went to see Jared there several days back, I saw a big Catholic church and some of those things always come through my mind when I see those, and you know they one of the things you have to do to be a saint is in the Catholic Church, some kind of miracle has to be performed in your life, you know. But I told Ashley and Cody, and I said just call me Saint Michael. I said I'm a saint. I said according to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, I'm a saint. I'm a saint. If you're in
If you're in God's family, you're a saint. God's made you, God sanctified you and set you apart and made you holy. You're a saint if you're saved. And so he said, for the perfecting of the saints, that's all of us saved people, that's saints. For the equipping of the saints, he's gave these gifted men, these men that have these gifts, he's gave them to the church for the equipping of the saints. For the maturing and equipping of the saints. That's what I was saying a while ago. You say, I can do just as good at home as I can at church. That ain't what this says. That ain't what God said. Now, I believe God knows a little bit more about it than you do. If you stay at home and you don't have you're not around these gifts that God has given all of us, these gifted men, if you're not around those, if you are not here at church where God has got these people, you're not going to get it. You're not going to be equipped. You're going to be a weak, mediocre nobody. What you'll be if you stay at home by yourself. You'll probably be depressed too, and probably you'll be mad, and you'll be bitter and hateful, and grow up to be a wrinkled old prune. What you'll be if you stay at home by yourself. Because God's got you here, and this is where He's going to supply your needs. This is where God's going to give you what you need right here. I know that. I've been saved enough years and I've went to church enough that I know that I'll get what I need in the house of God. Because that's where God's got His gifted people. And the good things He wants to give me, He'll give it to me through His people that He's given these gifts to that I need. That's where I'll get it at. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. See, for the work of the ministry, that's talking about us. That's talking about all of saved people. For equipping the saints for the work of the ministry. See, God's getting you ready right here for the work of the ministry. The ministry that He has for His church, for His people. He's getting you ready right here. This is God's university for His people. God's Bible college. Every church is a Bible college. You know that? It's also a hospital, but it's a Bible college. God's equipping every one of us, getting us ready. And I thank the Lord for this church. I believe He does a whole lot of equipping here. I really do. Because God's Word is preached and taught and held forth. The truths of God's Word is give out. And that lets me know that God's equipping here. God's getting people ready for His work that He has for them to do. For the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, for the building up, the edifying, the building up of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man. See, that's God's aim for us. Unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. You see, that's how the enemy gets some people. Some people don't have good churches to go to. And so he's able to do this. Some people get out of church. Stay out of church and he's able to do this. A lot of churches, I say, don't have the truth in them, so the enemy is able to creep into their lives. He's able to creep into their lives. That's the reason they're tossed to and fro. They're like little children because they've not been edified. They've not been equipped. They've not been strengthened through the ministry of these gifts that God has given the church. And so they're weak. They're weak and they're like children. And that's the reason the devil is just able to plant any kind of little lie in their mind and get them out. And get them out. We all thank the Lord we've got a good church where we hear the truth. And my children and my grandchildren can hear the truth here. And I know God's going to do something in their lives because they're hearing the truth. And he said, you're carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men, wherein cunning craftiness, whereby they lay in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things which is ahead of even Christ. See what God's put us all here together to grow us up. To grow us up, speaking the truth in love may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together. See, the whole body joined together. My fingers, I thank the Lord for these joints in my fingers. I mean, it makes them work good. They work right. And my elbow and my shoulders and my neck. I mean, it all just fit together and it works like it's supposed to work. And that's what it causes us to do. That's what God's Word and God's love working through the gifts of the Spirit and the gifted men and God doing what He wants to do in our life. That's what it's doing. You know that's what it's doing? It's making us work better together. Making us work better together. I mean, we fit together. We're supposed to fit together like joints. Christians are supposed to work like this. And it's an amazing thing how God made this brain. I don't try to explain it to me. I wouldn't understand it in 1,000 years. How I can want to wiggle my fingers. How I can want to wiggle my fingers and the message starts up in my brain that goes back down to my fingers and goes back up to my brain. It works so easy. I mean, we've taken it for granted all of our lives. But it's a miracle. It's a miracle how God made us. And it's a miracle how God's working through His people. He's put all us here together. He's gave us these gifts. The Spirit's working in every one of us. And when we, you know what? When we yield to Him, when we yield to Him and then we let Him do what He wants to do, it just works. It just works so well. It just works so well. If I let the Holy Spirit, if I'm here like I'm supposed to be in church, like every Christian is supposed to be, forsaking not the assembly of yourselves together, a matter of some men, they're joining one another daily, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. If I'm here like I'm supposed to be, and I'm walking with Him, and I'm seeking Him, I'm in His will, and I'm here in church, and you all that are walking with Him, I mean, He speaks through you, He works in me, and it causes us all to work together for God's glory. We all work together. I mean, it causes it to work so well. But when I get out of His will and if I get hateful and I get bitter, it just stops the whole works. It does. if I get things on my mind I shouldn't have, or I'm not going to talk about too much stuff, but it just messes everything. It messes everything up that He wants to do. But if we would seek Him, find out what He wants us to do. Lord, where am I supposed to be? What am I supposed to do? Some of you know what you're supposed to be doing. Some of you are wonderful exhorters. Some of you are so kind. The love of God just flows through you. And some of you may not know what you're supposed to be doing yet. But just do what you're doing. Do what you're supposed to do. Do what you know you're supposed to be doing. As I said a while ago, be in church, getting God's Word. Do the things that you know you're supposed to be doing. I mean, give like you're supposed to give and go like you're supposed to go. And as you do what you're supposed to do and you're seeking the Lord, then He'll show you. Then He'll show you what He's got for you. He'll show you what you're supposed to be doing. But you've got something to do. Every one of you do. Every one of you got something to do. He said, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplied, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. The building up of itself in love. This church right here, this house of God that we've got, it's a lovely place. It's a lovely place. And what makes it a lovely place is you all. It's what makes it a lovely place. We're supposed to be, as we let the Spirit work in us, and He's doing it. God's doing it. As I said, we wouldn't be what we are if it wasn't for Him. And He's doing it, and He's working it in us, and He's working it through us. And as we cooperate with Him, and we let Him do what He wants, and we say, Lord, make me usable, send me. Lord, use me. And as we do that, and as we let Him fill us with love, and You build me up, and I build You up, And the whole thing, all of her built up by His love, edifying of itself in love. By this shall all men know you're my disciples, if you have love one for another. That's the way people ought to be able to tell if we're His. They can tell how much we love each other. I love everybody. I do. I really love everybody. I don't love a lot of people's ways. I hate their ways pretty good. But I love, I don't know anybody I don't love. I don't know anybody I don't love. But I love God's people more than I love anybody. I love God's people most of all because they're so lovely. They're so lovely. And we're supposed to be building each other up. But we can only do that if we're close to Him and we're walking with Him. And as He fills me with His love, and I find out what He wants me to do, and I do it, then the Holy Spirit, as I'm walking in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. If I'm walking in the Spirit, and the Holy Spirit's filling my life with His attributes, then I can help you, and you can help me, and it builds us all up. Builds us all up. So he says right here, and I'm about ready to quit. This I say, brethren, therefore, and testify unto the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. I'm going to quit right there. That's how we used to walk. That's how we used to be. But we're not that way anymore. Well, I'm not that way anymore because the Lord's in me. The Lord saved me, and He gave me His life. I'm a citizen of heaven now.
Amen.
We're citizens of heaven. And we have the Holy Spirit within us. We have a new nature that's created after the image of God and righteousness and true holiness. I have a new nature. And He's working in me. He's working in this old ignorant country boy to do something. Isn't that marvelous? That He can work through us to do something. God wants to use us for His glory and His honor. God's got something for you to do. Are you praying? Are you asking Him what your gift is? Are you asking Him what He wants you to do? I thank the Lord. I love you. But you know, in every church, there's different levels of maturity. There's a lot of different levels of maturity here tonight. And some of you know what the Lord wants you to do, but some of you don't know yet. Some of you are still wondering what you're going to be. But I just want to repeat what I said a moment ago, and I'm quitting. Just be faithful where you are. Be faithful where you are. It's not the big thing right now. The big thing right now, if you don't know what you're supposed to be yet, the big thing isn't that you find out tonight. The big thing isn't that you find out tonight. The big thing is that you do like the Apostle Paul said, that I may be accepted whether I'm absent, whether I'm present or absent, that I may be accepted of Him, that I may please Him. That's the big thing in your life. That you worship Him, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and Him only shalt thou serve. You worship Him, you love Him and adore Him, and you serve Him, and He'll show you what He wants you to do. I look forward to seeing what some of these young people are going to be. I do. Because I know what my Lord's going to do in some of their lives. I know what He's going to do in some of their lives. There are some people right now, I'm just waiting to see what God's doing. I believe I know somebody. The Lord's working in people's lives. Some of us are different ages, different maturity. People different ages. I believe I know somebody right now, and I'm not going to say where it is or who it is. I believe I know somebody right now the Lord's going to call and preach. I believe I know that. And when He does it, I'm going to rejoice. I'm going to rejoice. Because the Lord's already told me to pray for that person. Lord already told me to pray for that person. I'm going to do something in that person's life. Lord's already told me to pray for them. There's some of these young people here. There's going to be some. There'll probably be some preachers' wives. There's going to be some godly women. There may be some missionaries. Some of these young ladies here might be missionaries one day. And I thank the Lord. See, He's doing that. He's doing that. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and we'll quit. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for this privilege. You give us to be here tonight. Thank You for Your Word, Lord, how You've spoken to us. We thank You, Lord, that You're working in our lives, doing what You desire to do. For Your honor and Your glory, help us all, Lord, to stay close to You. Lord, and be sensitive to you as you lead us by your Spirit and your Word, that you may do what you desire to do in our lives for your honor and your glory. Lord, raise up these young people here, use them for your glory. Lord, we look forward to seeing what some of them become, Lord, as you work in their lives. Help us to be careful to guard what you've given us, Lord. Lord, help us to be sensitive, Lord, to you, that you guide and direct us. We thank you and we praise you, Lord, for everything. You've been so good to us. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.